Hi, and welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast with Sherry and Chelsea. I'm Chelsea Stratton of Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And I'm Sherry McConnell of A Quilting Life.
And we're happy to be here with you today. We're a little bit closer to Christmas, so Really exciting.
Yes, it's Friday, because This podcast is going to air Monday. So when you're watching this, You'll just have a few more days.
December 21st is When this airs, so.
Awesome. Okay, so
get right into it.
Jumping into it today. The quilts on the wall. The quilt on the wall is my Sugar Pine Stars pattern, and it's a fat quarter quilt that I did with Scrappy Fig Tree fabrics, and it's a lot of fun. I keep wanting to make this in everyday fabrics, and because I feel like it would just work with any kind of collection, but I love getting it out every Christmas. So. Yeah. That's Sugar Pine Stars.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. And then on the table is Foursquare. This is another quilt that I haven't ever made in everyday fabrics, but it would be really fun in any collection. It's just a layer cake pattern. And it goes together really fun, and there's kind of a nifty little way that you put it together so that the seams all match. And it's been really, really fun. And then finally, just... this is actually an old favorite. This is a Christmas pillow.
Cute.
And it's a free tutorial on my blog from a few years ago. It's made in Kate Spain fabrics. And
it's adorable.
I have all the pillows out for Christmas all over the house. And I thought, this is a free tutorial, so I should share this in case some of you want to go look that up. We'll put a link in the description.
They're everywhere.
So the pillows.
The Christmas pillows. There's like a Christmas pillow or a Christmas quilt around every corner on every bed in my mom's house.
That's so funny.
Which is great. It's festive. Like, I'm totally here for this.
Oh.
It's beautiful. I was going to say, I really like that this pattern has some of the stars just have just one fabric square, and then some of them are the four patches
right
in the center. I think that's such a cool idea.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you. It was really fun. I really love this quilt. I do need to make it in everyday fabrics.
So I might beat you to it.
So
really, like, I really like this one a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And your pillow is so cute.
Oh,
it really
thanks.
Is. If it's missing, don't think of me.
Oh, I'll know where to look for
She'll
it
know.
If it's missing. Okay, so anything new? I feel like we're just getting ready for Christmas.
Getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah.
I know we talked about this in the last podcast. I'm just like soaking it up, you guys. I'm ready. All of my Christmas shopping is done. Everything has been decorated and just enjoying the downtime right now. So, and I'm going to continue it through the end of the year because I think it's just good as a whole for myself and my kids. And
it's so good for
It's good. So it's a nice time to just sit down, put my feet up, read a book, and
good. I'm glad to hear that. So I feel like most people everywhere, even if they're doing school online, are getting a break this next couple weeks. So
I know
this is a good
are.
Time for the whole country, the whole world.
Yeah.
No school, no.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
Should we go right into it?
Just go right into it.
We have another round of great questions. We have some from the YouTube, from Instagram. You get some on your blog.
Right.
So we just appreciate those so much. And it's definitely the, you know, the fuel to our podcasts. So we appreciate those.
Yeah. Okay. We're just going to jump right in then.
All right. Yes. And I'm going to start with the first one. I love this question. And this one says, I've made a bunch of quilts, but not a log cabin. Do you have a favorite book for log cabin quilts? That's the first part of it. So I think we'll answer that first.
Okay.
I have two great log cabin quilt patterns, My Heart's at Home and My Heart's at Home 2. And what's great is they're both different sizes. So the original Heart's at Home is a bigger block. And then the Hearts at Home 2 is obviously a smaller block. But those are just simple piecing methods in the pattern. It just uses simple piecing to put them together. I don't use a special ruler for that pattern. No paper piecing or anything. And so that might be helpful, those patterns to kind of look at. Do you have any, you know, any books or special rulers? I know the second part of this talks about using a log cabin ruler.
Right. Yeah. No, this is a great question.
Yeah.
I've made log cabin quilts both. Well, I'm not going to say both. I'm going to say multiple ways. So I've made them traditional piece, like yeah. Chelsea's patterns. And I love that. And then I've made them using log cabin rulers in different sizes. And I've also made them using the foundation paper. I've felt yeah. Quarter Shop has some out that does a courthouse steps block and a log cabin yes. block.
I've seen those. Yeah.
So it's really up to you. I would really suggest trying out each method and seeing what you like.
Yeah. What you prefer.
Yeah. So. I feel like if your quarter inch seam is right on, you can go ahead and use a pattern without any specialty tools. In my Labor of Love book, I have a log cabin quilt in there called Laguna, and it gives you the measurements for just cutting the strips, just like you do with Chelsea's patterns. But you can also use the log cabin trim tool for that size block. And I did film a video on that. So you can find that here on the YouTube channel, the video where I show you how to use that
yeah. ruler.
And then I think what the, she says in episode 4, Sherry showed a log cabin ruler. That's a mini log cabin ruler for a 4-inch finished log cabin. And so for that, if you're making a log cabin that small, then I guess I really would suggest yeah. the ruler. Really helps make the block come out really accurate.
Definitely if you're smaller piecing, I yeah. think, for sure.
Yeah. I would suggest ruler or paper. For, yeah. For the smaller the log cabin, the more likely the more essential it is that you need to be accurate. So those rulers really help.
Yeah.
So.
And we can put links to that video.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
Right.
And to all those three patterns.
All three of our quilts.
Yeah.
Chelsea's 2 and my 1 and the rulers and the video. We can link all of it because.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of, we talked a few episodes ago. We both named our top 5 favorite blocks or 3 yeah. and log cabin was one for both of us.
Yes. So it's one of my favorite yeah. blocks.
Yeah.
And there's no, like you said, there's no wrong way or method
yeah.
to put it together. It's just, yeah, what you prefer. So
right.
those are all options to use and decide what you like best.
Right. Okay. The next question, this is a good one too. She says that you always mention your grandmother. And if you don't know, my grandmother, she taught me to quilt. So I do mention
and it's her, my great-grandmother.
Your great-grandmother. But you were able to spend a lot of time with her.
Spent a lot of time with her.
So she lived to be 94. And so my kids all got to, yeah. to know her. So the question says, you always mention your grandmother. What did you learn from your mother? What did she do that was special? And my mother taught me to sew. So, you know, I never would have been interested in quilting, I don't think, if I hadn't had yeah. that foundation. So my mom made sure that I started doing embroidery. And I remember doing those pot holders on the loom. I did those. I remember those embroidery sewing cards when I was really young, like 3 or 4. And then the pot holders on the loom. And then rug hooking. Well, I had an aunt who was into rug hooking at the time. And
yeah.
so did the rug hooking. And then when I was 10, my mom gave me a sewing machine and signed me up for a class at Singer Sewing Machine in the mall. And I learned how to make clothes. And I was never going to quilt. I was just going to make clothes.
Yeah.
So I sewed a lot of clothing in high school and even at college. I used to make formals for people and do wedding sewing. And so my mom.
Didn't you make your own prom dress?
Yeah, I made my own prom dress, my own wedding dress.
Wedding dress too.
Her yeah. homecoming dress. I have it.
Yeah. Oh, actually my mom, do you have the blue one?
Yes.
My mom made that. Grandma
okay.
made that. So yeah, Grandma made that one. So
I don't know why all these things are popping in my head.
But
didn't you make like Miss Nevada's dress too for her competition?
Miss Teen Nevada.
Miss Teen Nevada.
This is my claim to fame.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No. So I, I made my prom dress from this gorgeous, gorgeous Vogue pattern. And it was a designer pattern. I can't remember the designer, but I did it in black satin and it was beautiful. And I wore it to church. And this girl that we went to church with, she competed in pageants and had won the Miss Teen Nevada. And so she wanted a dress just like mine. I made hers red satin, I think. And maybe that was just for the state pageant, because then she went on to the national pageant and I made another dress for her that was gold and hunter green sequins and satin. And it was just gorgeous.
Mom, you're so cool. What's happening?
Yeah, I have a picture of her somewhere in that dress because that one was on national television.
I want to see it.
So yeah, I have to find that. So
national television.
So yeah, I used to. Yeah, so my mom really encouraged me to sew clothing.
How old were you when you made those?
Oh, probably 17.
Oh, my goodness. So.
Was she your age as well?
Or? No, she was a little bit younger than me, I feel like. So
yeah. I mean, we won't name her name, but yeah, didn't she date Andre Agassi?
She dated
him. Okay, there's some other fun facts. So, yeah.
Oh my. What is happening right now?
Yeah,
that's probably why I remember it.
That's probably why you remember it.
Billy's like, yes, Andre Agassi.
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
How do I not know this, guys? You learn something new. This is why it's good to have the family powwows right? and the podcasts, because these things get brought to our attention. So yeah.
I'll have to find a picture. I have a picture of her in the green dress.
Yes, please. Yeah. I don't think I can go home without seeing
it. And I feel like it might be her prom picture or something, because her mom she wore it to prom also, and so her mom was like, I'll just give you this picture and then you'll always have a picture of her in that dress that you made. So so that was kind of
look fun. At you.
So moral of the story, my mom had a past before quilting that but is also associated with sewing.
Yes. Yes, thanks to my mom.
Yes. See, so she did. She set that foundation.
Yeah.
I was going to say too, just adding on to the question, I mean, she was also very prevalent in my life. She was, you know, a person, I spent so much time with her as well. So right. I had equally wonderful moments with my great grandmother and my grandma. Right. So good memories with both of them.
And she's doing well.
She's well,
in her late 70s and has some health issues. So she's really, really isolating right now because of everything that's going on. But she's doing well. And that was fun to get that question. Thank you.
It was a great question. Look what came about.
I had no idea I was going to take this trajectory here. So
I love my mom. Okay. Let's move.
Okay. The next one, Sherry, what does the 155 represent in Saturday 7 155? And this is a great question. So I have been writing, and I think right now I'm working on 158 or 159. I can't remember, but that's how many weeks in a row I've done the Saturday 7 post on my blog.
Holy cow.
So I number them. So when I started it, I started numbering them, but anyway, every Saturday, if you're not familiar with it, I do a blog post with 7 different topics, and it actually ends up sometimes there are 15 or 20 different things on there, because under recipes, I might share 3 recipes, or under quilting and sewing, I might share 4 free tutorials that I found on the web that week. So it's just a kind of a potpourri post with all different kinds of things.
I can't wait for Saturday 7-1000. I don't know. This is crazy, giveaway or something.
Yeah. No, I remember when I made it a year, I was like, I made it a
year. That's really cool and that you number it, though. I like that.
Yeah. So that was a fun question to answer, too.
Okay. So I have been quilting for a few years now. Is there any benefit from pressing seams to one side or pressing them open, and why do some quilters talk about setting the seams? So just for me personally, I mean, pressing your seams open is going to reduce the bulk, especially if you have blocks that use tons of different pieces, But I mean, I don't tend to press mine open. I just press to one side most of the time. Like if I can, that is like my go-to. But you might have more to say on this.
No, I feel like when I first started quilting, there were all these rules. And people would say, you always press to the dark and you never do this and you never do that and you always do this. But I feel like now it's a lot more what works for that project, don't you think?
Yeah, totally.
So,
oh yeah,
I would say that 80% of the time I probably press to the dark side.
Yeah,
if it works with my pattern. And then a lot of times with half square triangles, I press those open if I'm not using triangle paper. If I am using triangle paper, I'll press them to the side. But it just depends on the pattern. If it's something where there's going to be a lot of bulk, I'll make sure that all those seams are pressed open to make it easier for that.
I agree with that. I think you're right on that. Like 80% of the time, I'm...
I think it's, pretty good.
I think it's a good percentage. But yeah, the rules thing, like, you know...
Yeah, I feel like we don't kind of have those hard and fast rules in quilting like they used to, maybe. Yeah. I feel like when my grandma taught me to quilt, she told me, now you always have to press them to the dark. So, but that was kind of the era that she learned to quilt in. So
for sure.
But, and then the question about setting the seams, that just refers to whether you're pressing open or to one side. That just refers to taking the piece of fabric and just a straight up and down press with the iron to just kind of set those fibers before they're pressed. And I do it just because I've been taught to do it, but I feel like it does aid when you go to press. It's easier to press whether you're pressing to one side or pressing open if you've set that seam.
Yeah. Okay.
And it prevents stretching and...
Which you don't want. Right. I mean, you don't want to warp anything. So
setting the seam, it'll just... And often if I'm pressing something open or to the side, I'll just... The iron, a quick up and down with the iron, and then I'll press it the way that I'm going to press it.
So yeah.
That's the setting the seams. Yeah, and along with that, we did have a question... Favorite iron. And I've talked about this a lot. I absolutely love my steam iron that I have. It's kind of like a tank.
It's its own person. It's oh my goodness. It's huge.
It's a great iron. And we have talked about it before. I'll put a quick link in the show notes to it. But it's a little pricey. It goes on sale if you watch Amazon. You can sometimes get $50 off or more, but it's...
Guys, it is so big, it needs its own introduction. I love it. I just like to make fun of it because it is amazing. Like, it is so great. But I walk into her sewing room and I'm like, that's a huge iron.
It's like the elephant in the corner. Yes, is exactly. My iron in the corner. Yeah.
It's got its own little...
What's the name of it?
The Perfect Steam Iron.
Of course, that's what it's called.
It does have a brand name.
It does. Okay. I mean, like, totally.
Okay.
We'll link it.
We'll link it. Yeah. So,
but the Perfect Steam.
Yeah. Perfect Steam is kind of the subtitle. So, but yes, we will link that. So,
it's like those infomercial things where it's like the perfect boiled egg.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Perfect Steam, guys. We'll link it.
A Rowenta?
I believe it is a Rowenta Perfect Steam.
Guys, Billy is on top of it today. He's already
Googled it real quick.
He's already Googled that for
us. Good thing he has a computer over
there. Yeah. He's set up tech-wise. Like, what would we do without him?
Yeah. So that was a quick answer to that question.
Okay.
Where do you want to go now?
Cutting accuracy.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like rule of thumb... Just make sure, for me, sometimes I'm just like, okay, just measure twice, cut once.
Yes.
I know that that's like, guys, I know that it's so like, I've heard it before. But really, I can't tell you how many times I've been off because I'm just like moving so quickly. And yeah, just making sure you have it lined up. That, I mean, even if I have a fat quarter that I feel like needs to be just slightly trimmed, on the, like, anything, like, just needs to be perfectly straight, I do that. I trim you know, so that everything is perfectly accurate.
Yeah, and my grandma taught me that too. But this was the funny part, was I mentioned it once to my husband, and he was like, is that a thing in quilting? I'm like, yeah. I guess it's
we have sayings in
other fields too, like carpentry. And they say the same thing. So
we're related.
I was like, wow. But yeah, and in fact, I just filmed a video on this that just released, I believe, on Friday, December 4th. It's got a lot of tips. You can look that up. It's got tips on fabric preparation and cutting accuracy. So, and it's
part
share
of your beginner's
series.
Oh, fun.
Right. So we're doing...
Oh, I love that you're doing that.
Yeah.
A beginner series. That's great.
So if you have any topics, you can
join
in and film one.
Guys, that's right up my alley.
Okay. So yeah. So look for that video and I think we can link that and put it in the description and everything. Okay.
Favorite color. This was another question.
This is a good one.
So I'll go first. It changes daily. And what's funny that someone asked this is my oldest daughter and I kind of have this like thing where every day she asks me what my favorite color is. And every day, and she loves it because she knows I'm going to change my answer. So yeah, Ashton asks me that every day. Today I guess it's hunter green, guys. But yeah.
Does it really change really widely? Like yellow, green, purple? I mean, or does it stay in a range?
I feel like when I'm quilting, I have to have every color. Like I love all the colors.
Right.
I feel like if I'm going to do like a one color quilt, it's probably going to be like gray or navy. Like I like something that's more neutral.
Right.
I feel like if I'm going sewing wise.
Right.
But daily I feel like that comes with like designing fabrics too. I can't decide. I need to have a cohesive group that like works together. And so, yeah, it's always changed for me. I mean, if I had to pick, we have a joke though. Like if we have to pick between pinks and reds and aquas and navies, mom will always choose the aquas and navies and I will always choose the corals and reds. Like when we're picking out fabrics, mom's like, put the blue one in when we're working with strike offs. And I'm always like, no, take it out and add the red one. It's much prettier. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
And that's why your cords, Chelsea has a pink cord and my mom has blue.
He knows me. Yes. So,
well, I asked you and you told me.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No. This is so true, though.
Right.
So, yeah. Thank you, Billy, for reminding me.
Yeah. That's good. My grandmother's favorite color was red, and I remember being so surprised when she told me that. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, but my mom really likes grays, but I do. I'm usually in the blue family, but it really varies. It does change. One day it might be navy, and the next day it might be aqua.
Different
shades of blue. So,
yeah.
And we do. When we're getting right down to the nitty-gritty on the strike-offs, it's usually, you keep that blue if you let me keep that red.
It really is a compromise. And it's hilarious, too. If people could be a fly on the wall when we're, like, going over that, it's like my dad just laughs sometimes because he's like, you guys are so silly. But we really do, we care about the one. Normally, we are so passionate about one of the picks that we're like, it's staying in there. I'll give you these for that. It's so fun.
Yeah. So great question. Thank you. Plans for 2021. This is a hard one because we just really don't know. In fact, I just got a phone call yesterday and a retreat I was going to do got canceled. And I knew it would. I knew the phone call was coming. So
but when it she still like stings
it's still
a little.
It's sad.
Like, yeah. But you know, it's like, it's just what's going on right now. So.
Right. And so she said, well, can we just schedule you for the same week, 2022?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's hope it's a go then.
Yeah.
You know, 2021, I don't know. I don't have anything scheduled until summer, and I'm just hoping that those might work.
Yeah. I mean, we really miss going to Quilt Market, too. And we actually just had a virtual Moda designer meeting set up, which was a lot of fun for all of us because we got to see, you know, all of the people we care about so much and talk to them.
Yeah.
So that was good. It helps, you know, having things virtual like that. But yeah, we miss, don't know, 2021 is up in the air. But as far as fabric and patterns,
we have some fun fabrics coming in 2021.
Yeah, really fun fabrics, fun patterns, so, you know, things like that, that will still, and that's, you know, a silver lining is we're still able to share, you know, our fabric and, you know, patterns and, and we're here with you on the podcast. And that makes me so happy that we have this, that we can connect with people. So,
yeah. So we do plan more videos, more podcasts.
Yeah.
We have two collections completed for 2021 already. So,
yeah.
And you're doing a block of the month.
Yes, I am doing a new one that we're going to do Yes, we're going to do an instructional video for each block to help out the more beginner. Yeah, so.
Oh, I love that.
So it'll be more like, it'll be step by step instead of just sort of an overview like we've done in the past. So.
Right.
Cool.
Right. It'll be a step by step for each block. So
really cool.
There are always new things. I have some other things under wraps. I don't know when I can share anything. Them. But yeah, we have things will be published in 2021 that have already been made that you can't, that we can't talk about yet, that we'll be able to share later. Yep. So, yeah. So it hopefully will be a great year.
It will. Guys, so, it's going to be a great year, 2021.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mom, the next question, what are you going to do for Christmas? Will you be able to be with family? So for us, we just had a small Thanksgiving with you. So we will be doing Christmas on my husband's side. I don't know how that's going to look. You know, it just depends on how everyone else is feeling and just health-wise. And so, yeah, that's everything right now. Everything varies, you know, and it just varies with our state that we live in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We just had, you know, some changes in our state. So it all varies and we're just following, you know, what we need to follow and being together in just the ways that we can. So,
But it will be kind of up in the air, I feel like.
Yeah, totally up in the air. But regardless, I mean, my plans are just to be home with my family. And actually that's something I've changed in recent years is my kids are getting older. And so they want to stay home for longer so that they can, you know, be with us, have a family breakfast, open Christmas presents. So we really, my family is so like my family, like just my husband and my kids, we're pretty family oriented. So we'll see how it goes, but
Our whole family is in the state of Nevada, except for one.
Yeah.
Our youngest son's in California. And I don't know, they just made some more restrictions. So I guess it depends on if those change by Christmas, if he'll be able to come home or not. So
And like his work, you know.
Right.
So
he was lucky enough, he got home from Thanksgiving right before they put those restrictions in place in his county. So that was good. We'll see. I won't be able to see my mom. She's up in, you know, 7 hours away. And, but she is going to be able to be with my brother, who's hopefully.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
That'll work. He's got a 2-week quarantine that should be done.
Over soon?
Right. Yeah, right soon. So then he should be able to be with her. So, so that's kind of what that's looking like. The next question. Have you ever hand-stitched an entire quilt, and do you recommend it? And I have hand-quilted small things, and I got a lot of enjoyment out of them when I did them. I feel like I, you know, I'll do Christmas ornaments, little small things I'll hand-quilt. I haven't ever hand-quilted a really big quilt, but I'm not opposed to it. My grandmother used to do that all the time, and I was amazed how quickly she'd get them done.
Yeah.
But I haven't ever hand-pieced any blocks. And I know some people will hand-piece the blocks and then hand-quilt.
Oh, my goodness.
I just have too many things I want to make. I'm too impatient.
I feel like hand-binding gives me that enjoyment.
Right.
So, Yeah, it gives me that hand stitching enjoyment. I love using my sewing machine.
Yeah.
So hand binding is what does that for me.
I love that because I really like hand binding too. So maybe that's why I don't really feel the need to do that.
Totally.
I never machine bind. I get the hand stitching there.
Yeah. I will say this, a quilt that is so beautiful that I've watched someone work on for years, Camille Ross Kelly of Thimble Blossoms. Twice a year, she gets out her grandmother. Is it the...
Or is it her farmer's wife
Farmer's quilt? Wife quilt, right. And she hand stitches that, and she's not done. She's been working on it for years, but she pulls it out twice a year, and she works on that. And I actually really love when she shares pictures of that because I think it's just stunning.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a good idea.
She pieced the whole quilt, and now she's hand
quilting
the quilt together. So hers might be one to watch for on social media.
Right. Yeah. I that's something I should probably do. Just make something and not worry about getting it done, not worrying about, and then just...
A couple times a year, get it out.
Yeah. And hand quilt it.
Yeah.
So the next question...
I love this question.
This is a good one. Do you still have the very first quilt you made to show us? The very first full-size quilt I made was for Billy. And
cute!
So, do you have it or do I have it?
I think it's here.
I think it is here.
How sweet!
I think it's in the closet, actually, I think.
I was thinking, actually, that I guess I'll just say it out here on the podcast. We could, like, do a video sometime with that quilt. If we can find
we
it.
We should. Yeah.
Just to show everyone.
If you don't have it, then I have it. I would not have gotten rid of it.
I don't have it.
Yeah. I have a picture we could pop up if we do wants to.
We do have that picture with me and Grandma. Is Billy in the picture
too? And Billy
too?
Is in and the picture. Quilt?
Yeah, I'll put it up.
Yeah, let's put that one up.
But I do feel like there's a closet right outside that door. I feel like it's on the top shelf in that closet. So, but yes. And so what it was a Eleanor Burns Quilt in a Day double Irish chain. He wanted solid colors, so my first quilt was white, blue, and green.
Yes.
And I feel like he kind of wanted orange, but...
I did. I remember, because I was my favorite color as a kid. I remember wanting an orange quilt, and he wouldn't make it.
Yeah. Like, well, it was kind of Grandma's fault, because she bought all the fabric for that and took me to the store.
She probably thought it was crazy to make an orange quilt.
She was kind of like, oh, let's do this blue and green. So yes.
Billy's like, oh, thanks.
So I made it for him, and then I've told this story before, but then I made like 25 other double Irish chain quilt in a day quilts.
I think we just talked about that a few podcasts ago.
Yeah, you might still have a purple one.
I do. Okay. I have two.
Okay. So
a lighter purple and a darker purple version, because I had a twin size bed.
Right.
And then in the new house, I had a full size bed.
Yes.
So,
and I made you a new one.
Yeah.
And I used that same pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Guys, I mean, that's if you so need that quilt pattern.
Yeah. Now, what about you? What would you consider your first quilt?
I am glad you said that because I consider my very first quilt when I started my quilting journey five some odd years ago. It was your, is it called Shine quilt?
Oh, yes.
And I made it using fig tree reds and greens. It was around Christmas time.
Okay.
And I finished it on Christmas Eve. And that was like, I don't know why it was so important to me that I finished it before Christmas. It might have, I don't know, maybe before the New Year's was my goal. And I still have it. And
It's quilted?
It's not quilted, you guys.
Okay, gotta quilt it.
We talked about this. It's in the box of quilts that need to be quilted. I think I was so hard on myself that it wasn't perfect. But you want to know what? I need to just get it quilted.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's really, really pretty, and I was really proud of myself. So
that is
my first quilt. You need to like push me. I need to just go get it quilted. I had like a really hard time with it not being perfect, but...
Oh, and that's not a super easy pattern either, so that's great.
You're so nice, Mom. No, you're right. No, but I should. Yeah. It'd be perfect, a quilt for the couch or for the kids, so... Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
So I still have it.
I'm glad we had that question.
Yeah.
So the next one, have you ever used a serger to piece blocks? And
never.
I feel like all that extra thread would just create unnecessary bulk
yeah.
in your quilt. So I feel like that's probably why it's not a common thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I might have done it once in a pinch when my sewing machine was getting serviced and I had to sew.
Oh my goodness.
And then I think I realized.
This doesn't work.
This is not going to work. Like, it's not, there's too much thread.
Yeah.
So that was a quick one. Photography process tips. Do we have time for that one?
Yeah, just really quick. I do. I wanted to touch on it really quick. Billy talked about this in the last podcast. Somebody asked about what camera we use for the podcasts, but for photography, you really can just use your phone. It's all about editing and good natural lighting. Most of the pictures I take are from I have an Android, a Samsung, iPhone takes great pictures. You just need that good natural light. And if you can find a room in your home that gets great natural light, then you really can get good pictures without spending a ton of money on a really expensive camera. You know, a really expensive camera is going to obviously do a lot of the work and you could shoot probably any time of day with it, but it's all about editing. I mean, I know people use Lightroom and Photoshop, but just, yeah, phones are so usable for that. So,
yeah, I think the natural light is the best tip of all. So, and I will sometimes do a whole bunch of sewing, and if it's overcast, or sometimes I have to wait a few days to, and I'll just try to do all my photography at once when I have that good lighting.
Yeah.
So,
be next to a good window.
Right.
You know, that lets a lot of that light in. So, yeah.
And you don't even take it outside if you.
Yeah. You just don't want direct sunlight.
Right.
You don't need the direct sunlight. It's going to cast too many shadows. And so just having that nice filter through a window, honestly, to me is great.
Right. And then what about presets? Have you ever used it? I keep seeing those on Instagram.
So my younger brother's fiance actually, she and I were joking about that because I was like, she makes the most wonderful charcuterie boards ever. And she was joking around that she was going to buy presets for her for her food life.
We should I have a picture of this charcuterie. We'll pop up a picture that she made for us for Thanksgiving.
Pretty and yummy, like both. But she joked and she's like, you should make your own quilting presets. And I'm like, I think I should. But it was just a joke. But I think it just depends with presets. You know, it's not going to work on products the same way. Like, it would just have to be the right preset. So I'll look into it, guys.
Yeah.
The Sherry and Chelsea preset.
Yeah.
For your perfect Instagram page.
Yeah.
No, but.
So I think that's all of our list. And
yeah.
When is our next podcast? We might have to ask
the new year. It's going to be the new year.
It's
going to
be in January, right?
2021.
January 4th.
January 4th.
Yes.
Perfect.
That is so crazy.
So maybe we should talk about resolutions on that podcast.
Yeah. Look for the resolutions podcast, you guys.
How to start out the new year.
Would be fun. Maybe I'll make a PDF
so
that we can have downloaded. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate all of the support
and
all of your kind comments and questions, and just love the fact that you are here having the conversation with us with your feedback. We just really appreciate that. So
we're grateful that all of you have followed us along. We started this in, when did we start?
June.
And so we've made it through the year, and we're just so grateful that everyone has that has been listening on their favorite subscriber or watching on YouTube. We're just grateful that you're along for the ride, and we appreciate you so much. Yep. So here's to a new year, guys.
Yes.
Here is to a new year.
Looking forward to 2021.
Right?
Thanks so much for stopping by.